So I said earlier that Isaiah was speaking about 700 years before Jesus was born. And we're going to look a little bit about what was going on at that time and why he said the things that he said. And he was speaking ultimately about Jesus, but he was also speaking to a situation amongst God's people at the time, and specifically speaking about two people, one called Shebna and one called Eliakim. And these people were in the royal court. They served the king, King Hezekiah, at the time. To start with, Shebna is that royal official. He was the one that was sort of a steward over all of the people in the royal court. Part of his role was to control access to the king. In doing that, he, at least that was symbolised by a key. And this probably wasn't a key like we know today, a small little key that we might put in a lock. It was like a wooden sort of symbolic key that bizarrely he wore on his shoulder as a sort of part of it, almost like a sort of a regimental badge of honour. Now, I tried to find a picture of one and I couldn't, so I'm afraid you just get in the description. But it was quite a large piece. It might have been able to unlock things, but more than that, it was symbolic. And so God, through Isaiah, speaks to these two people in the verses that we looked at earlier. We're just going to expand on that. So this is Isaiah chapter 22, if you want to follow in church Bibles, but the words are on the screen. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Go to this steward, to Shebna, who is in charge of the palace, and say to him, what are you doing here? And who gave you permission to cut out a grave for yourself, hewing your grave on the height, and chiselling your resting place in the rock? Beware, the Lord is about to take firm hold of you and hurl you away, you mighty man. He'll roll you up tightly like a ball and throw you into a large country. There you will die, and there the chariots that you were once so proud of will become a disgrace to your master's house. I will depose you from your office, and you'll be ousted from your position. Pretty brutal, pretty bleak reading, isn't it? What's going on here, and what's this got to do with the key? Well, this was a man who was seeking to use his position in the royal court to feather his own nest, to look after himself, to use his authority to make a nice grave for himself, which isn't necessarily what we'd do with that authority, but at the time, that marked him out for all time as significant, even after he'd gone. So he was looking after himself, he was proud of his chariots, he was proud of his position. And so God deposed him, and he replaced him with a new servant, a guy called Eliakim, someone who was going to serve faithfully. So he said, in that day I'll summon my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe, Shebna's robe, and fasten your sash around him, and hand your authority over to him. He will be father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. Remember the key on the shoulder. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I will drive him like a peg into firm place. He will become a seat of honour for the house of his father. So what's going on here? Well, Isaiah is speaking, as I said, firstly to these two men, and ultimately it points to Jesus. So let's just understand a little bit more about what that means. Eliakim was going to be a faithful servant, someone who would truly serve God's people and not just himself. And in that, he points to Jesus. Because Jesus, too, is a faithful servant. Jesus, like Eliakim, is one who controls access to the king. If we want to get to God, the way to God is to come to Jesus. Jesus is trustworthy and faithful, as we were saying earlier. Where we've got things in our lives that we don't know what to do, we need to understand how life works. If we come to Jesus, he is faithful and trustworthy. He's the one with responsibility and power who can unlock things in our lives and give us a way forwards. And also, like Eliakim, and unlike Shebna, he gave himself humbly for us, not for himself. Jesus gave up all of the rights and position he had as king, as Lord and God over everything, and became a human being. He lived and he died in our place so that we can have a relationship with God. And he rose again so that we can have certainty for eternity. So that's great, you might say, but so what? What does that mean for me? These people long ago, what that says about Jesus? Well, a couple of things to think about as we look for how we put this into practice ourselves. Firstly, here is a message about God unlocking things in our lives. As we follow Jesus, we don't need to be bound by those things that we were thinking about earlier. Yes, they're struggles, and they're, you know, some of us are going through really hard things, but there is always hope in God. So are you living in that freedom that Jesus has unlocked for you? You know, what's still unlocked in my life? What's still locked in my life or in your life that we need to bring to Jesus to set free? What's still holding us back, holding us captive to ways of thinking or thoughts or habits or practical things in our lives? And if that's resonating with you, if that's real for you at the moment, we'd love to pray with you afterwards. We'd love to pray to this one who is able to unlock the things that no one else can unlock, and ask him to work that in your life, in whatever the situation is that you're going through at the moment. And secondly, if you're seeking to follow Jesus, are you doing so faithfully like Eliakim did? Or is there a bit of Shebna about you? Is there a bit where you're proud, where you're maybe using the responsibilities and authority that you have for your own gain and not for the good of others? What do you need to change in the way that you're thinking about things, in the way that you're living, so that you too are a faithful servant, mirroring the faithfulness of Jesus? Let's just pray as we think that through. And then before we invite the kids back, I've got one more thing for us to do to prepare for them to come back. So Jesus, thank you that you are the one who lets us access the King, that through you we can know the God of all creation. Thank you that you are trustworthy and faithful, that when we bring things to you, they are in safe hands with the one who has all power. And thank you too, that you are humble, that you gave everything you had for our sake. Amen. Okay, I'm going to turn my microphone off. So I'll try and shout, but not too much. So